this morning. After that, I'm honest, I'm a little shaken myself. I came to know Brother Malone and love the man and enjoy him, and we just gonna pray that God continue to answer and take care, provide, and support and comfort his family. Certainly, this morning, we all are challenged with that. I want us to stay in prayer, as I know we will.
Yes, we will.
We will. My subject that has been given to me this morning is overcoming discouragement in the church. I want to put a little bit of a twist on it before we get to Nehemiah 2 and 17, verse 20. When we look at discouragement, we realize discouragement is an occupational hazard of living today. We find that many of us are easily become discouraged. We are cast down in the dumps. We become despondent and blue. We carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. We have the wind blown out of our sails. Or it rains on our parade. Or our bubble is burst. Well, when all of that is happening to us and we're going through all the trials in life, dealing with all the difficulties, and inside of the church especially, we need, there is a need for encouragement. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, we see that Paul and the brethren there had been going through some discouragement. They had been facing opposition on every side. And every time he tried to move, every time he tried to preach, every time he tried to teach, there seemed to be opposition. Well, what we need is encouragement because of the trials of life, the temptations of Satan, and the turmoil of emotions. What do you mean when you say the turmoil of emotions? In a life, we're up, we're down. We're up, we're down. We're up. We're down. We need some encouragement. We have the pull and the tug, the drag, and seem like so much frustration with us many times on the inside of the church. Well, then we need to not only be encouraged, but we focus on encouragement. And verses 3 through 8, in that same text, we find that Timothy encourages them. Note here that he gives them a spiritual truth. He gives them spiritual fruit and spiritual stability.
Yes, sir.
When we are discouraged, we need to be stabilized.
Yes, sir.
Because then we are unstable.
Well,
we need a good word from the man of God.
Yeah.
A good word from a friend.
Yeah.
A good word from a saint in the church.
Yes, sir.
We need to hear word from somebody who know God.
Yeah.
Who trust the Lord, who serve the Lord, who are following the Lord, waiting the Lord's will. We need to be stabilized when we are discouraged. We need to learn how to encourage others. You say, well, preacher, how do we encourage others? By just listening. You don't have to have great words to say many times. When someone is down in the dumps, despondent and blue, that many times just a good listening ear will help them get through that time. Being able to share their troubles, their trials with somebody else. When we become transparent, don't mind somebody seeing through us, seeing what's going on with our life. We encourage others. When we listen, when we're transparent, when we express appreciation, too many times we do not give enough accolades. We know how to give put downs. We know how to just be mean and cruel. We know how to have words that tear down. But what about edifying, exalting, building up? Letting someone know every now and then, I appreciate the work that you've done. I like what you've done. I see what you've done. I want you to keep doing that. Show some appreciation. And then when we challenge them, we challenge them to do better. And then we share the word of God with them. One of the best ways to overcome discouragement is to focus on others. Too many of us are focusing on our own trials, focusing on our own mess, instead of being like Nehemiah. Nehemiah could have easily focused on himself, but he realized there was a greater work ahead of him that he had to focus on. Well, who can you encourage this week? Who have you encouraged this week? Discouragement is present in any and every profession. Maybe I need to say that again. Discouragement is present in any and every profession. One thing I want you to note, if you don't get anything else today about being overcoming discouragement, life is going to knock you down. When life knocks you down, no matter how many times you go down, keep getting back up. Each and every time that you're knocked down, get on back up. No matter how hard the blow, no matter where it came from, sometime inside of your house it'll come. But you got to get up again. Inside of the church when they knock you down, get up again. Sunday school, get up again. Might come from the preacher, but get up again. Make no difference how many times you've been knocked down. You keep on getting back up. When we look at overcoming discouragement in the church, overcoming means to gain the victory, win, conquer. Certainly we're going to overcome. Certainly we're going to gain the victory. We're going to win in spite of what Satan is trying to do. In spite of his fiery darts, in spite of all the trials, the pressures that he has us under, we're going to conquer. We're going to overcome this discouragement. Discouragement is an act of instant discouraging, a state of being discouraged, something that discourages, such as poor health, poverty. In this case, it's the church. Well, when we look in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse number 17, reading from the Open King James Version, he says, then I say to them, Nehemiah, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall. Remember the let us now. Build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be of reproach. Yes, sir. I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's word that he had spoken to me. He's basically saying, I already been blessed. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hand to this good work. Now, this was some work, but it was some good work. Many of us can't get discouraged when we say work. Some of us don't like work. Some of us don't like to go to work. We don't want to be on nobody's job. Hello? Work just breaks us out in hives. Work causes us to run off, have excuses, complain about what's going on. We don't want no part of work. But they said, let us. But when Sanballat, Tobias, the hard night Tobias, the Ammonite, and the officials, and Geshem the Arabian heard of it, they laughed at us. They despised and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? So I answered them, said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us.
Yes, he will.
I don't need you.
Well,
God already got us.
Yeah.
He said, therefore, we, his servants, will rise and build. But you have no heritage, right, or memorial in Jerusalem. And in other words, you don't have no business down here. Why are you out here talking to us? We are here working for the Lord. You hadn't been invited inside to work with the Lord. Nor are we going to call you in here. We understand you come down here to tear down the work. You come down here to scoff. You come down here to discourage, but I want you to know that God has already spoken. That you're not going to discourage us. We're going to overcome you. We're going to work together. We're going to rebuild this wall. How? Together. We're going to work on God's plan. God has set before us. Overcoming discouragement. In the church. Sometimes it's hard. In times of trials, we need godly leadership. In the book of Nehemiah, we see such gifted leadership in the person of Nehemiah. Facing criticisms and opposition, Nehemiah relates to them and he leads this small Israelite community as they rebuild the wall of Jerusalem for its physical protection. But he also did not hesitate to guide the Israelites spiritually by demanding that the Israelites obey God's laws. Nehemiah pursued their spiritual as well as their physical welfare. We need some good leaders like that. We might be doing all right on one side, but we need help on the other side. He didn't leave out either side. He said we need both sides. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 17 through 20, he called the leaders together, told them what needed to be done, and encouraged them by relating. Now, this is what he said, by relating how the hand of the Lord had been upon him. Then he's also told them about the words of the king, how he had blessed him. A discouraged people, the Jews, were excited and ready to begin work. Their enemies, Sanballat, Tobias, and Geshem, scoffed and tried to stop the building project by raising the false cry of rebellion against the king. But Nehemiah was not intimidated. You know, sometime in life, folk will try to intimidate you. Folk will try to come up on you. They'll try to say words to you to cause you to stop. If that won't work, they'll do little things to you to cause you to stop. They'll try to put stumbling blocks in your way. They'll try to tell other folk in the church don't have anything to do with it. Don't you support that. Don't you work with that. That ain't going to work. That ain't going to, they done tried it years ago. Don't you have anything to do with them. But one thing about Nehemiah, he was not intimidated. Don't let anybody in the church intimidate you when you're working for the Lord. When you know it's a good work. When you know that God has called you to do it. Don't you be intimidated. You step up, you stand straight, you be a soldier for the Lord, you stay in the battle, you stay in the fight. Overcoming discouragement in the church. Nehemiah wasn't intimidated. The God of heaven had promised success. I said the God of heaven had promised success. When God has spoken, I don't care what man say. When God has spoken, it's going to come to pass. When God has spoken, it's going to happen the way God said it's going to happen. When God has spoken, you can't stop it. You can't refute it. You can't impede it. You just got to get with it or get out of the way. The people were united. Now that is necessary if God is going to bless you. Now when we look at Psalms 133, got 10 minutes. Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3, that's all there. We just need the first verse. It said, behold, how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to do what? Well. How they dwelling? Together. How? Oh, Lord. Together we can do it. We can overcome discouragement in the church. How are we going to do it? Together. We're going to work on it. How? Together. And Nehemiah 2 and 17. Nehemiah encouraged all of the people to assist in rebuilding the city walls. God had prepared Nehemiah for the time of discouragement. You sure you want to be prepared? For the time of discouragement, the preparation that we've seen, it involved brokenness. God has to break some of us, many of us, in order for us to get to the point where we are ready to deal with the discouragement that is forthcoming. Brokenness. Look at what else has to happen. He's not only brokenness, but he has a dependent prayer life on God. Yeah. Not only that, but he has a deliberate plan. When you are broken, you don't need to just say, well, okay, and then I can do this, just the best it is, and whatever happened. He prayed to God. When he finished praying to God, he had a plan. Preachers, get a plan. Don't just pray. When you finish praying, have a plan. Not only did he have a plan, but he went back down on his knees and he prayed again. Then, ultimately, he trusted God. When you come out of your brokenness, church, you pray. You plan. You pray some more. And you trust God. You ready for that discouragement. There are times when we have to leave our place of comfort to deal with discouragement in the church. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, or we don't want to alienate anybody. But let's, you know, Nehemiah left his comfortable job in Persia to do the work of God, rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, walls that have been broken down for almost 100 years. Hello? But there are many times when your phone rings, you comfortable, you watching your favorite show, you sitting and eating your dinner. Hello? You enjoying yourself. Somebody call you with some mess, call you with some discouragement. You got to leave your comfort zone. You got to leave your comfortable place to be able to deal with that. You got to learn, if we are going to deal with discouragement in the church, you're going to have to leave your comfortable seat. You're going to have to leave your comfortable space, your comfortable place, wherever it is in life, to be able to deal with that discouragement. You can't deal with it in your comfortable place. First, we must be honest in the assessment of the situation. Too many times in the church, we don't tell the church the truth. We don't tell them exactly what's going on. We try to sugarcoat it, fix it up, make it sweet, make it nice. We just need to tell them the truth. Nehemiah, he defined the problem when he looked at the wall. He didn't pamper the people. He told them the truth. What do you mean he told them the truth? When he looked at the wall, he told them, he said, things are bad. Things are bad. Hello? He did not try to sugarcoat it. Stop trying to sugarcoat it for them. That it fit them. That it don't help them. Sometimes you got to show them some tough love. You got to give them the truth. Give me the truth any old day. It might hurt me right now, but it's going to help me in the after a while. Oh, he says bad. And the work is great. But I like what he said in the end. But we can do it. We can do it. We can do it. When discouragement is in the church, we can overcome it. How are we going to overcome it? We're going to work together. Discouragement might be great, but we can overcome it. by working together. There was no blame or criticism game. Many times discouragement come in the church, Bishop.
Yes, sir.
They want to blame.
Yeah.
They want to point fingers.
Yeah.
Who fault it is.
Yeah.
That's not the time to play the blame game.
Yes,
that's not the time to have criticism.
Yeah.
That's the time for us to come together and work together.
Yeah.
We have an issue. We have a problem. It's like this morning, nobody didn't just look around and wait for somebody else. The first thing that I heard somebody say, which is taught in first aid, one of the first things, they said, call 911. I didn't hear nobody say, get the AED, but they said, call 911. Everybody swung into action. Somebody said, back up before I could get down and start CPR. Somebody was already there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We knew what to do.
Yeah.
In time of discouragement, we went into action this morning.
Yeah.
We took care of the way we should have.
Yeah.
We backed everybody else off, so we got enough help. We tended to him. We working on him.
Yeah.
He has vital signs.
Yeah.
How did we do it? We did it together.
Yeah.
Oh, we came together. We came together in a matter of just, wasn't even seconds. Seen folk running all over the place. We did it together. He encouraged them. He motivated them to work together. Am I motivated to do the will of God? We need to remember what God has done. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse number 18. I know my time is running out. He says, 3 minutes, thank you. Then I got to close. It says, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for a good work. Huh? The Lord will start and complete a good work in you. I know that from Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6. He says what? Being comforted of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
well, I want you to know that it sent Moses on a good work.
Well,
when Moses got the good work to lead the children of Israel up out of exile after all those hundreds of years, Moses became discouraged with the children of Israel. On one occasion, he told God, God, come get your people. God said to Moses, no, you get your people. Didn't nobody want them? Because they were so discouraging. Sometimes it seems that way. Not only did Moses get discouraged, Elijah became discouraged with Jezebel. He found out that she said that she was going to have his life. She was going to kill him. He had done a great work with God, taking care of all those false prophets of Baal. You would have thought that he had courage, but he became discouraged, and he ran off and hid himself from Jezebel. Well, Jonah became discouraged with his mission in Nineveh. He didn't like what God had for him. He didn't think that it was right that he ought to go down here and preach to a bunch of sinners. He basically said that they're not going to repent, they're not going to change, but you got to understand, God already know what he has. God already know what he's looking for. God already knows what's going to happen when you in the mission for the Lord. You just take care of the work. You go down there and do what God has called you to do. Then we look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah became discouraged and said that he would not preach the word of God anymore. But he later recanted his statement and said the word of God was like a fire shut up in his bones. He could not hold his peace. He couldn't hold it. He had to speak the word of God. If anybody ought to have been discouraged, it should have been Job. Then lost all his children. Had his wife talking about it. His best friends talking about it. Lost all his livestock. Lost all his land. Everything that he had that was precious to him was gone. But I like the fact that Job didn't give up on the Lord. He didn't say anything rough about the Lord. But he simply said, God give it and God take it. Bless it! Be the name of God. How are we going to overcome discouragement in the church? By working together.
Wow. What a power. powerful message.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother.